Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murrett. This is lecture number 10 through the book of Genesis. And we come today to chapter 9, verse 18. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The flood is over. Noah and his sons and their wives are out of the ark. And it's time for a new beginning. Verse 18 of Genesis chapter 9. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. God mentions the three sons of Noah, and he also mentions one grandson, Canaan. Canaan is the son of Ham. And actually, they are just like each other. And to be honest with you, they weren't very much to brag about, as we will see. 19. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. I don't know if Noah and his wife and any other children after the flood, but I do know that if they did, there were not any grandchildren through them. That's because God says the whole earth was populated from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You are the descendant of one of those three sons of Noah. Verse 20. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Noah did what he knew how to do. He was probably a farmer before the flood, and now, after 121 years, he goes back to his old job. No one pampered Noah. He had to earn a living through hard work, just like everyone else. 21. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. Now, God destroyed sinners in the flood, but he did not destroy sin. Man still has a sin nature, and we see it working in drunken Noah right here. Noah, like anyone else that God has ever declared righteous, is righteous by faith, not because of the way he acts. Because, you know, like the rest of us, old Noah here, he was a man of faith, but he was not perfect. And this is pretty despicable. 22. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Ham was troubled, and so was his son Canaan. Now, I don't know what happened here. I think that perhaps Ham may have followed Noah, his father, because Noah had a track record of being right. In other words, Ham may have gotten on that ark because it was expedient. But I'm not sure that Ham is in heaven today. Of course, that's not my job. Not my job to judge, and it's God's job. But notice verse 22 again. It says, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. And the original language suggests that Ham went out and made a joke about his father's drunkenness and his father's nakedness. Can tell an awful lot about someone by what they think is funny. Laughing at dirty jokes, enjoying movies that display blatant sin, or being entertained by music that is ungodly, is the sin of Ham. It is all rejoicing in unrighteousness. 23, but Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. And so Shem and Japheth didn't laugh at Ham's jokes. Verse 24, so Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. By the way, in the Bible, a grandson is sometimes referred to as a son. That's the case with Canaan here. It wasn't his son, Ham, who did the something bad. It was his grandson. And he did something bad, and Noah found out about it. And as a result, Noah utters a curse, which means that Noah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, speaks a prophecy about Canaan's immoral conduct and concerning Canaan's offspring. And it wasn't good. 25. Then he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. And boy, did that come to pass. Canaan became the father of a race of no good, immoral sinners called the Canaanites. They were filthy, guilty of the worst forms of sin and idolatry, and God couldn't stand it. He gave the Canaanites many years to repent, centuries actually, but they didn't. They were cursed because of their sin, and they were destroyed. 26. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. From Shem came the Jews, and just as Noah predicted, they were blessed by God, the descendants of Shem. The Jews were blessed by being the people God chose to work through in order to reach out and offer salvation to the entire world. The descendants of Shem, the Jews, were blessed to receive the word of God. And the one true religion of God in the Old Testament days. And of course, the Savior came into the world through the Jewish race. Blessed indeed have been the descendants of Shem. And not only that, 27, it says, may God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. And so, you are probably a descendant of Japheth. Most of you who listen to this, at least in America, are a descendant of Japheth, I would say, because they eventually settled in Europe and then migrated to America. Noah predicted by the word of God that there would be a connection between the Jews and Western civilization. That is, a connection between the Jews and Europe and the United States. And that connection came through Jesus Christ. Christianity isn't just the traditional religion of Western Europe and America. Christianity is the thing that developed Western society. And we are blessed beyond all others because of our connection to Christ. That's what God meant when he said that Japheth, that is Europe and America, will dwell in the tents of Shem. We share in the blessings of Shem's descendants, the Israelites. 28. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Noah saw the old world with its terrible wickedness. He saw its destruction. And he saw a new beginning. But then he also lived to see an increase in sin once again. He lived to see the building of the Tower of Babel. He lived to see the confusion of languages and the scattering of his offspring. He actually died only 32 years before Abraham was born. You know, Noah was born only a few decades after Adam died. And Noah died only 32 years before Abraham was born. And he's probably glad to get out of this world, considering that it went downhill pretty quickly. Let's go into chapter 10. Verse 1. Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the flood. And the reason God included these genealogies of Shem, Ham, and Japheth in His Word was to show us the origin of the different nations that are in the world today. You want to read those, it's a good thing for you to do, but I'm not going to spend time in this study reading the next 31 verses because they are just a list of names. I would encourage you to read them every now and then. It's a good idea to do that. Verse 32, let's skip all the way down to the end of the genealogy. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, in their nations. And from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. And so they were divided. They spread abroad. But not right away. They didn't spread out and become separate nations until after God forced them to. And that's what we're going to look at in chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. You say, how nice. Everyone spoke the same language. Well, now, you know, it would be good except for the fact that sinful man often takes that which could be used for good and uses it for bad. And so the ability for man to communicate was a good gift from God, but man quickly abused it. 2. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They wanted to stick together and build one large city. So they, as a group, migrated away from Ararat until they found a plain that could accommodate them. Verse 3. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. I don't know if you caught this, but there's no mention at all of them talking to God. They're not including God in their plans. It says they said to one another. They did not care what God thought. And they did not care about God, period. They did not ask for God's direction or His opinion about this tower or this city that they were building. In fact, they'd rather not hear what God had to say because they knew that they were not in line with God. 4. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. In chapter 9, verse 1, God told man to multiply and scatter. Here the people say, let's build this tower and city so that we won't be scattered. This is pure, blatant, brazen rebellion against God. Verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. There is great symbolism in what God says here. God can see everything. They could be building their city underground, and God would have seen it. But God is exposing the absolute foolishness of sinful man. They are boasting about their big tower that's going to make them so famous. But God, in effect, is saying, listen, that thing is so puny in my eyes and so unimpressive to me that I have to actually come down to earth to see the foolish little tinker toy you're building. He is not impressed. And I guess we better stop there for today. We will pick up our study in verse 6 next time. Until next time, so long, everyone.